Would you pray with me? O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Hear now God's word from Ephesians 5, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. This is indeed God's holy and inspired word. One of the most powerful realizations that we can make about children is that they are mimics, aren't they? It can also be one of the most terrifying things for parents as well. Children are mimics. They learn by repeating and imitating. Sometimes they even tease by mimicry. How many of you have ever heard someone say, "Stop copying me," right? I've said that a few times myself. Children will do what their parents do. Boys will do what their dads do. Girls will do what their moms do. Imitation is the natural way that we learn how we fit in with the world and with society. And imitation is also one of the natural ways that we become more like those we imitate. There are real reasons beyond just DNA that we grow up to be like our parents in many respects. And this imitation is one way also that the iniquity of the fathers is passed on to the children, and how the love of God is also passed from generation to generation. We see our flaws mirrored in our children, and likewise, we pray, we see our faith mirrored in our children as well. And you know that many Christians today think of their faith as me and my personal relationship with God, or my personal fight with sin. You probably know people or hear people talk that way. A Christian is someone who believes in Jesus, and that's about it. But the scriptures in various places, and in these two verses that I just read from Ephesians 5, show us that Christianity is not just me by myself. It's not just you by yourself. It is inextricably bound up with other people. And so this evening, I want to discuss with you briefly three different ways that these verses call you as Christians to imitate God. And I want to show you specifically also what they call all of you to do, all of us to do as Christ's body, also specifically what they call Pastor Davis to do, and what they call all of you to do in relation to Pastor Davis. Now, in verse 1 that I just read from Ephesians 5, St. Paul gives us the command to imitate God. Now, before we get into the three ways that we are called to imitate God, just pause and consider for just a moment the gravity of that command. It's one thing to play Simon Says or follow the leader or try to be like a human, right? But to imitate God? As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. My thoughts than your thoughts, God says. There is no one like our God, Moses said in Exodus 8. In one sense, claiming to be able to imitate God might sound like the height of pride, like another Tower of Babel, like another temptation in the garden. Eat this and you will become like God. Telling us to imitate God might kind of seem like me telling my 2-year-old to bench press a locomotive. And yet, here we are. And actually, this isn't an impossible command for us either. We are created in the image of God. His Spirit is given to us who believe. He is not calling us to be God, of course, but to imitate Him. There's a big difference here. My 2-year-old may not be able to do what I can do, but that doesn't mean that he can't give it a fair shake. And so there are three ways that we as Christians are to imitate God. And the first is, as St. Paul says, as beloved children. Now, I know you've been working through Ephesians here at Trinity Church. And so probably most of you can tell me what one of the main themes of Ephesians is. And that is that of the family. Family language is everywhere in the book of Ephesians, as early as the second verse of the book. Paul says in the second verse, "Grace to you and peace from God, our Father." And then verse 5 picks the theme up again. You know that Ephesians 1 talks about predestination, but predestination to what? Verse 5 says, "He predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ." One of the prime purposes of God's grace to his people is to make us his children. And so we are to imitate him as children imitate their father. Ephesians 3:15 tells us that every family in heaven and on earth is named from the Father, from God the Father. He is the heavenly patriarch, and we are his children, called to imitate him. Now, if we were to imitate God as his children, what does that imply then about each other, about one another? If you are God's child and he is God's child and she is God's child, what does that mean about what you are to one another? Well, it means that you're siblings. And so imitating God as his children means treating one another as siblings. And again, parents of young children may chuckle. But you know that regardless of the squabbles that may sometimes happen in your families, the connection between siblings, between brother and sister, is one of the closest relationships that you can have as a human. Part of being God's children means being a good brother or a good sister to one another. The second way we are to imitate God is in Christ giving himself up for us. It says, walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us. Well, this language is quite often used about Christ, but passively. Throughout his ministry, Jesus says, the Son of Man is about to be delivered over to the hands of man, and the Son of Man will be delivered up to be crucified. It's actually the same word that's often translated as betrayed. We know Judas as the betrayer. Woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed, Jesus says, or literally it is, woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is delivered over. Judas as the betrayer is literally Judas as the deliver-overer, if you could put it that way. And when we think of Judas betraying Jesus, we might think that maybe he just hurts Jesus' feelings, or maybe he let him down, he wasn't a true friend to him, and all of those things may be true, but that's not what betray means. Judas as the betrayer means Judas as the bounty hunter who turns Jesus over to the authorities. And so we usually think of Jesus being delivered over, right, or being betrayed, but here Paul says that Jesus delivered himself over. You see, the cross was not something that was out of his control. The cross was not something that happened to him. He was handed over, but in the marvelous words of Ephesians 5:2, in being handed over, he was truly handing himself over. It was at his initiation that all of this happened. He wasn't helpless. He wasn't caught off guard or overpowered. He was in full control the entire time, and everything that was happening was right on schedule. Part of being God's children means delivering ourselves over for one another in imitation of Jesus. The third way we are to imitate God is in the nature of Christ delivering himself over, which we are told is as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. St. Paul's actual language here is that Christ was an offering and sacrifice to God unto a fragrant smell. Now, the offering language is a near-bringing, like the sacrifices in the Old Testament. A near-bringing that's a representative that is offered to God for reconciliation with him. And the fragrant smell is the part of the offering that God smells and is pleased by. You remember that Yahweh smelled the pleasing aroma that Noah offered on the altar after the flood, and he smelled it and said, I will never destroy the earth with a flood again. This is what Christ did for his people, delivering himself over for us as a sacrifice of near-bringing, ascending into heaven like the smoke from the altar, who is acceptable as a pleasing aroma to the Father. In him we have, as Ephesians 1 verse 7 says, redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses. It's a legal release from the penalty of our sins, yes, but it's also much more. Because of his redemption and our forgiveness, we are adopted as sons and daughters, and united with him, and united with one another, and brought near to God in peace, and sealed unto our inheritance as part of his royal family. Part of being God's children is not only giving up ourselves for one another, but doing it in faith, doing it as a sacrifice to God, having his pleasure and his glory as the goal. So, St. Paul calls us to be good siblings to one another, to deliver ourselves over for one another, and to do that as a sacrifice of worship unto God. And all of this is part of our calling to be imitators of God. Doing these things unto one another as siblings is imitation of God. But one of the major graces that God gives us is that he doesn't leave us to figure out all of these things all by ourselves. He doesn't leave us on our own to figure out how to do it. This is really amazing, and this is why all that I've said tonight is actually really important for all of us. In the previous chapter of Ephesians, chapter 4, it says that God gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. Here we are called to imitate God, but here's how the rest of the New Testament uses the word imitate. You became imitators of us and of the Lord, 1 Thessalonians 1:6. be imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises, Hebrews 6:12. Brothers, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us, Philippians 3. I urge you then, be imitators of me, 1 Corinthians 4. Be imitators of me as I am of Christ, 1 Corinthians 11. Remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. The New Testament repeatedly tells us that we are given human examples to imitate, and specifically, these are the leaders and ministers in the church. And you know that some Christian traditions call their pastors father, right? And I'm not saying that that's what we should necessarily be doing, but it is getting at an important scriptural truth. We all have, or should have, various fathers in the faith, various mothers in the faith as well, people whose influence and example we imitate as spiritual children, even as we seek to imitate God as His beloved children. And so, Rob, even as I've shared what these verses call all Christians to do, they also have special application for you as you take over this ministry. If this is a call to all of us, how much more so for ministers? Now, even though in the fullest sense you are a Christian brother to this church and to those in this congregation, you are also called to be a Christian father to them. That is, you are called to set an example for the rest of God's children. Your imitation of God must be imitatable. As you imitate God, you are to do so in a way that when others imitate your faith, they are imitating God. Secondly, you are to deliver yourself over for this congregation. The good shepherd laid down his life for the sheep, and as an under-shepherd, you must do the same. Walk in love, as Paul tells us here, for you especially means following the example of the greater love which lays down his life for his friends. And thirdly, you are to offer yourself as a near-bringing and a sweet-smelling aroma to God. God's glory, as it is for all of us, your aim. His pleasure is your aim. You know already, probably better than I do, that labor in the church isn't always glamorous, and it can be messy at times, but your offering is for God's glory alone and for the reconciliation of men and women with God. May your example be fatherly. May your example be sacrificial, and may it be a sweet-smelling aroma to God. With all of that said, brothers and sisters, the Scriptures call you all finally to give all due respect, honor, and love to Pastor Davis. Respect him for the role that God has called him into as a father in the faith, pointing you to the Father over us all. Honor him as one who is laboring and giving himself, giving his time and his effort for you. And love him as one who is calling you all to walk in love. Showing him this respect, this honor, and this love is also a way of giving thanks and praise to God. By honoring and imitating those that God has sent to point you to Him, you are honoring God as well. God has shown you grace by adopting you as His children and being your great Father. Fatherhood is a gracious gift of God. And likewise, out of His sheer grace, He has given you a man to imitate as you seek to be imitators of God as beloved children. And may you all at Trinity Church of Springfield live among one another and worship with one another in such a way that you are the aroma of Christ to God, a fragrance from life to life, so that the fragrance of the knowledge of Christ may be spread everywhere. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, let us pray. We give you thanks, dear Father, for this, your word, which calls us to follow in your ways, to be like unto you, and we especially thank you for the gift of your Son, who is our great Redeemer, our great Shepherd, who is the one who loved us that much that he would give himself up for us as a sweet-smelling sacrifice and savor to you. We pray that through you, through your Spirit's work in us, that we would deliver our lives over for one another and unto you, that our lives would be a worship and a pleasing gift that we offer to you each and every day. We give you thanks for all of these things, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.